Good evening, everyone. I'll call this meeting of the City Council of the City of Junction City to order on this Tuesday, October the 12th, 2021 at 6:30 p.m. And everyone, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'm going to do roll call. Councilor Ken Wells.
Here.
Ah, glad to have you here.
Glad to be back.
Councilor John Gamby.
Here.
Councilor Sandy Thomas.
Here.
Councilor Andrea Seneca.
Here.
Councilor Sid Washburn.
Here.
And Councilor Karen Leach.
Here.
Thank you all. Okay. Now we'll go to the approval of minutes for September the 14th. Do I hear any corrections or additions to those? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve those.
So moved.
I hear a second it?
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded, we approve the minutes for the City Council meeting from September the 14th, 2021. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Okay, it passes unanimously, it sounds like. Now we'll move to the City Council minutes from September the 28th, 2021. And same thing, any additions or corrections to those? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve those.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for September 28th, 2021.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from September the 28th, 2021. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Hearing none, opposition. Those are approved unanimously. Now we'll go on to any public comment on items not listed on the agenda. Are we online for anyone?
Yes, ma'am.
We're not hearing any from... Okay. So we'll move on to the school district report, and I'm very happy to see Superintendent Troy Stoops here, and welcome. And if you would like to just share with us whatever.
Did the council get copies of the presentation?
If you want to, you can go over there where the mic is if you would. Yes.
All right, thank you for inviting me here tonight. It's great to see you all. I'd also like to introduce Annette Sisler, who's our elementary principal out at Territorial and our preschool promise childhood program director. We have a little short presentation for you just to share a little bit about what's happening in the district. I have put a few slides together just to keep me from wandering completely off, which is something I'm really good at. So you can direct me back. But that district enrollment, you know, whenever we came back from COVID and knew we were coming back full time, of course, we had a concern about what's the transition going to be like with the changes that have happened in the last year and a half, 2 years. But as you can see on that first slide there, our total enrollment is down about 80 students at the time. This has been about 3 weeks ago, total for the district. It's still fluctuating. We still have families moving around and families making changes coming in and going out. But we're not really concerned about enrollment right now. It seems to be real steady and consistent. Our options, JC Options, Junction City Options Program, is a K-12 program that we have now for, it's an alternative option for families to enroll their students in. It's a combination of in-person and online opportunities. And as you might expect, the enrollment last year was very high because of CDL instruction. And this year it's back down to 105, which is more realistic for a district our size for alternative programs. So that's where our current numbers are. As you know, all the the news and that we're hearing about is the safety precautions and following the mask mandates and the upcoming vaccine mandate and trying to keep as many kids in school as possible. That's been our goal this year, is to try to keep as many kids in the buildings as possible, but still maintaining safe and healthy environment and practicing our distancing, hand cleaning and sanitizing, and spacing as well. So the next slide there is safety and healthy health statistics in Lane County. Since August 1st, Lane County has had 8,600 cases of COVID-19. These cases account for 1/3 of the total cases ever. From September 1st through 23rd, there were 558 school-age confirmed cases, and the cases throughout the county are slowly decreasing finally. We were fortunate to be able to hire an amazing local nurse, Damaris Bishop. I know some of you know her. And she's done an amazing job since she hit the ground running. She is probably one of the busiest people in our district right now. We've had, as of the date of this printing, we had the known positive cases of 42. Total quarantine to date, 190 students. Currently out of school, this was about a week and a half ago, 116. That's down under 100 now. And then we deal with isolation cases and quarantine cases. Isolation is, of course, whenever someone tests positive or is presumptive positive. They're out for 10 days, and then a quarantine for a direct exposure is 14 days. Very challenging for us when we have to send kids home or staff home for 2 weeks due to an exposure. So our goal is to try to prevent that from happening. What a close contact is, what we determine since staff or students home, is if they come in close contact with someone who's been tested positive, is within 3 feet masked or 6 feet unmasked for a cumulative of 15 minutes over the past 24 hours. And schools are actively adjusting these 3 feet spaces, which are very challenging. Our middle school is probably the most challenging because we have some larger class sizes at the middle school. And again, back to the 14-day quarantine. Close contact is vaccinated. If a close contact is vaccinated or has proof of a positive case in the past 90 days, they will be able to continue with normal activities until they receive symptoms. And then, of course, anyone with symptoms or testing positive, they're out for a 10-day isolation period. Extremely challenging for our schools. Even though we, you know, it's very frustrating for parents when we send a child home because they've been exposed in close proximity and they're home for 14 days and they never have a symptom. It's very frustrating. But that's this part of the protocol that we're required to follow at this time. The other piece is the vaccine mandate, as you're all reading about in the news. Some of our surrounding districts are really, really struggling with this mandate. Some of them are making changes to their calendar next week. They're anticipating potential walkouts. Right now in our district, I think we're probably in better shape than any around. Our staff are amazing. Our licensed staff are 99% vaccinated, and our classified staff are about 85% vaccinated. So we're in really good shape. We're going to lose a couple classified folks, and we lost one licensed staff member. But we're really, really fortunate. We don't think there's going to be interruption to service in next week. One of our biggest challenges, as you might guess, is our transportation service. First students really struggling, and so they're trying to be creative with how they can provide incentives. Some of the smaller districts are providing incentives for their administrators and other staff to get their CDL so that they can fill in for drivers when a driver has to go out on a quarantine or an illness. So I would encourage any council members, if you would like a side job, we can have you in a bus in 3 weeks. And there's some sizable bonuses involved in that. So. And you get to work with our kids, so that's the most amazing piece. Staffing, even without the quarantine issues and the mandate issues, As you might know, the workforce is really hard to find right now. And so I listed there some of the needs that we have as a school district. Currently have 29 openings. And these are not fluff openings. These are openings we really need. A nurse, an additional nurse, 6 teachers, 13 educational assistants, a custodian, a maintenance worker, 5 coaches, a childcare provider, a secretary, and again, several bus drivers. We had one day about 3 weeks ago where our bus driving company is down to where they can only provide for our main routes, and our sports programs can only get busing after 4 o'clock each day. And in the morning we had someone who was sick, so we gave a notice by 6 a.m. told them one of our main routes for elementary was not going to be able to run. And, just a testament to the how strong and supportive this community is, we had one student that didn't make it to school. That was pretty cool. So we know that families respond quickly, and our goal is to provide them with advance notice as much possible and try to come up with ways of solving the issues that we have. With that, I'm going to bring Annette up here to give you a little bit of information about our Preschool Promise program.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity to come share a little bit more about one of our programs here in JCE. You'll see on the next page, we actually have two preschools in JCE. We have our Territorial Community Preschool, and we also have our new program, which is called our Preschool Promise, and that is held right here in our East Wing High School. And currently we have 17 students enrolled. We're working on filling that last spot. We actually have a student that's in the process of getting that paperwork turned in. But I want to tell you a little bit about Preschool Promise, if you haven't heard about it. Let me start first with a quote about why this program is so important. And this comes from Penelope Leach, who is a psychologist in the field. She says, "For children, there is no division between playing and learning, between the things he or she does, just for fun, and the things that are educational. The child learns while living, and any part of living that is enjoyable is also play." So we do a lot of our, we teach a lot of our standards through play. Preschool Promise, if you haven't heard about this program, this is statewide in Oregon. Preschool Promise is a publicly funded, high-quality preschool system for students aged 3 through 5. The program prioritizes services to families and students who face economic challenges and who long-standing inequities relate to race and ethnicity most affect. Preschool Promise leverages high-quality, local, and culturally relevant early childhood care and educational programs and makes them available to children at the 200% poverty level. So specific to JC, let me tell you a little bit about JC's Preschool Promise. We also have a picket fence Preschool Promise. So the need for these families at this 200% poverty level is high. We have students on the waiting list currently. But our specific program serves a variety of children through the local area. The classroom is made up of a very diverse group of students, including Hispanic, African-American, and Native American families. Additionally, over 50% of our preschoolers have high needs such as gross motor, fine motor, speech, and cognitive delays. In fact, our Preschool Promise here in JC is considered a special needs Preschool Promise because we are over that 50% mark. 30% of the children in the Junction City Preschool Promise are currently in foster care. Last year, that was over 70%. To that point, there are a significant number of children who have dealt with trauma in their early childhood, resulting in the need for increased staff-to-student ratios and specialized sensory physical supports. One of the biggest things that we do in this program is we help build trusting relationships with these students who have been in trauma and an adult. And for some of them, that's the first trusting relationship they've had with an adult. So that's our very first objective. And our second is to teach them how to learn, because you can't teach them the things they need to learn academically until you've taught them how to learn. So to that, some of our Preschool Promise goals are to prepare children for kindergarten and beyond. We provide a set of high standards to promote school readiness and active family engagement. We provide culturally and linguistically responsive services and opportunities for underrepresented families. We support young children to thrive and succeed in school and life. Our classrooms focus on a variety of skills in every developmental domain. While we want to ensure children begin to learn letters, numbers, colors, and shapes, it's equally important that they learn social skills, how to take care of themselves, and how to recognize and respond to their own emotions. So students in this program are learning how to get along with one another, how to ask a friend to play, and safety things like staying with the group, following directions. And you know, I've been in education quite a long time. This is probably this particular group of students have the collective trauma that's in this classroom is higher than any other group of students that I've ever served, and the growth that is happening because of this program and the high quality instruction, it's pretty amazing. So six of our students, this little first year of our preschool promise was last year, six of those students moved into kindergarten last year, and I am confident that they wouldn't have walked through those kindergarten doors ready to learn had it not been for that program, because they did have trusting relationships. They did learn how to learn. They learned how to get along with their peers, which we know those things can sometimes put barriers in front of education. So pretty neat program. If you ever have any questions about Preschool Promise, I'd be happy to answer those.
Thank you. I just say that is a fantastic program. Thank you.
Oh. And I'll just close up with a few other pieces we have. Are some of the funds that are funding the big efforts that we have is our SIA allocations. Most of you might know that as a corporate activity tax. And Junction City's allocation this year is a little over $1.2 million. And our focus has been specifically on providing those social emotional supports for our kids with counseling, professional development, equity coordinator, psychology intern, health teachers, graduate coaches, folks that would that help with our kids with their social skills and mental health. Our ESSER funds, which are those federal relief funds, this year we received a little over $2.1 million, and those funds are good through September of 2024. And some of the big ticket items that we're working on has to do with health and safety in our buildings. We've added four modular classrooms at Oakley Middle School this summer. We're in the process of getting those installed right now. Lots of HVAC and window upgrades, replacing fixed windows with windows that can be opened to allow for further air. Summer school, after school programs, of course, health and safety supplies and staffing, our preschool classroom renovation, and a lot of technology upgrades and replacements. The district, we're continuing with equity work. I've provided a copy of the resolution that our board approved in June in the packet. There is a committee that is continuing to move forward. Our vision is that every one of our students is successful, safe, heard, seen, welcome, and valued in our systems and structures. And then our long-range facility plan, the board approved this committee to start additional work moving forward. Our first meeting is scheduled for October 28th. We're working on a 5, 10, and 15-year plan for our facilities to address the increasing enrollment in our community and the ongoing needs that the our structures have. So I would invite a council member or someone from the city to be involved in that committee, in that planning process. Love to hear from someone if they'd like to be involved. So with that, probably longer than you wanted me to be up here, but I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Never apologize for keeping us informed of what's going on in our school district, okay? Does anyone have questions or comments?
I have a comment.
Okay.
Thank you for being here tonight and sharing this with us. I just want to say, you know, we've been faced with some hard times these last year and a half, and so I think it's good to hear from the schools what they're doing. The programs, I think that's great. I'm glad to hear that, considering what I do in my full-time job with child welfare. I understand a lot of what you talked about, and I think, you know, every child's education is important, and so as Junction City, trying to work to make that grow and be successful, whatever support I can do, I'm happy to be supportive of. I think that's great, and thank you.
Thank you. How many children do you have in the Promise program?
So we were awarded 18 slots. Can you hear me okay?
Go, flip it off. There we go.
We were awarded 18 slots. We do have, a projectile of opening another, hopefully another classroom in another year or two, depending on what the state funds are, because we had so many kids on the waiting list. So there's definitely a need within our community.
Yeah, I just think it's a great, great idea. Yes.
One of the things that Junction City does so well with this program is we've created a stair step. So we have the preschool promise, then we have KITS, which stands for Kids in Transition to School. So that's all of our incoming kindergarten students. It's a program that they're eligible to attend. So our kids leave preschool promise, go into KITS, and then go into kindergarten. And so it's this really nice transition. And the entire way, there are programs that support parents. So we're not just supporting the child, but supporting the parents as well, which makes them active parent volunteers, community members. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. Thank you very much.
Anyone?
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We all need to know what is going on in our community so we can better represent the citizens of Junction City. And that definitely includes what's going on in the schools. So we hope you will come back periodically and let us know what is going on and what is the newest as far as the schools go.
Well, Beverly, one thing that we are in the works is our preschool promise doesn't currently have a playground. And as we talked about, it is super important for the kids to be able to play.
Oh, yes.
So we're securing some funding for that. And we'll be back to, just kind of share that plan with you and make sure the city doesn't have any questions for us and that we can move forward with the plans, so.
Thank you, we appreciate that.
Excuse me, really apologize for being late, but I was wanting to address y'all with something.
Excuse me?
I wanted to address y'all with an idea I have for the homeless. Someone shot down my hopes, and so I gave up, but I have a feeling that it's more than just for the homeless.
Would you like to go to the mic and state your name and your address, please?
My name's Laura Siders, and I live at 488 Cedar Street. And my hopes were shot down. I tried to do this like 3 months ago. But I really think that it's more than just for the homeless. It's people that are without families and their children, and it would be a stepping up program to where they could save up money for 6 months, and there would be no alcohol and drugs on the premises, and so on. I didn't bring all my, I just, at 6:30, I'm going, oh my gosh, this meeting, and I didn't grab my notes, but it's more than just for the homeless, and I wanted to at least get another chance or see if there's a chance that it could be possible.
Okay. Would you like to come back? We have in 2 weeks another meeting. Would you like to come back then?
Yes, I would.
Speak to us. Okay, can we see about getting her on the agenda? Okay?
Okay.
Yes, if you could let them know your information.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you. All right. And Superintendent Soups, if y'all don't want to, don't feel like you have to stay for our whole meeting, okay? We appreciate having you here, but we understand you're busy and you have a lot of work ahead of you for the school year. So,
thank you.
Okay. Is there any other? Let's see. I'm going to turn this over to Administrator Knope for a staff introduction for our new HR assistant, Emily Eastland.
And I'm going to pass right on to Finance Director Crocker and see what's for him.
Okay.
Yes, I'd like to introduce a new staff member, Emily. Stand up.
Hi.
So she's our new HR assistant, and she started, a couple weeks ago?
I've actually been here over a month now.
A month?
So, yeah, wow. I started on September 8th, so it's been a little over a month.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, she has hit the ground running, and say a couple words.
Okay. So I've been here for about a month, and Mike has me doing tons of projects, which is like my specialty. I love taking something and making it brand new and up to date. So I have been working on personnel manuals, procedure books, and getting all of our proper paperwork up to date as well for employee files and everything, and just getting that office organized. So before this, I was with a local company for about 8 years, and I spent 3.5 of those years in HR. So I decided I wanted to continue the HR business. I recently moved here to Junction. So before this, I lived in Halsey, but I recently bought a house off of Vine Street. And so I just love being a part of this community.
Mm. All right.
Thank you.
Can you tell
Welcome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Emily, can you tell us a little bit more about you personally? Are you from Oregon or?
I am. I actually spent all of my childhood out in Monroe. So I graduated from there, and then from there I went to school at Lane for about a year, and then I was a dental assistant before Human Resources. So I kind of dabbled in a little bit of different careers, and somehow this one became my favorite so far.
All right. Does anyone have any other questions that you ask of Emily? You were working the desk today, so
I was. So I spend my mornings over in the HR office, and then in the afternoons I handle the reception area.
Okay.
Well, welcome. Been great, because I've gotten to meet a couple of you already.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll get to meet all of us.
Yeah.
Okay. You take care, and thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now I'll go to Director Crocker again. It's the audit arrangement letter.
Before you is the audit arrangement letter, which is from the city's municipal auditor, Eisler Company CPAs. And this year they attached a planning letter as well. So the audit is done on a one-year basis. So that's why you have this arrangement letter every year. So it amounts to a contract for a year. Although this is, both these letters are industry standardized letters. Their formats actually are supplied by the American Institute of CPAs. One detail in there though, that you might notice, the cost this year is $30,000. That's an increase from the prior year of $700. So it's been kind of in that area for a few years now, but it has been creeping up. The Finance Judiciary Committee discussed the audit arrangement letter and forwarded it to council. And we expect to see the audit delivered to council at your December meeting. And if you would like to approve this, there's a motion to engage either CPA.
I would entertain a motion. If the council so wishes.
I make a motion to direct the city administrator to sign the audit arrangement letter with Eisler CPAs for fiscal year 2021.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded on the motion to recommend Eisler CPA to do our audit. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Now we'll go to Administrator Knope and the Northwest Natural Gas franchise.
Yes, ma'am. So before the council tonight is an ordinance that should look really familiar. In August, the council had passed this ordinance to renew the Northwest Natural franchise. Unfortunately, we did not catch in there that Northwest Natural only has 30 days from the date of adoption to ratify the agreement and give it back to the city. Unfortunately, within the bureaucracy of how Northwest Natural operates as a big company, that was not enough time. And unfortunately, the way the ordinance was structured, it didn't give us any wiggle room, any leeway, anything. It just, if it wasn't by 30 days, it null and void that ordinance. So, tonight, back before you with an updated one with some updated language giving us more than 30 days and giving us the option to void it, not just automatically. So we give them a little more time, but we still have the stick of saying, okay, if you don't adopt it by a reasonable time frame, we're going to avoid it. It's not just an automatic like it was in the last ordinance. So other than that, it's same as last time, nothing's changed. It was just that was the concern that we needed to get addressed. Questions? I'd be happy to
answer. Any questions, comments? Do we want to do, what is the council's wishes? Do we want to do this at two different meetings or do we want to consider it at one meeting?
So, Mayor, first off, I'll have to read the ordinance.
Yes, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No worries.
I'm trying to hurry it along.
So, ordinance number one, an ordinance granting a non-exclusive franchise with Northwest Natural Gas Company for the operation and maintenance of a system to provide natural gas services, repealing ordinance 1122 and declaring an emergency. Whereas ordinance number 1265 granted a non-exclusive franchise to Northwest Natural Gas Company for the operation of a system within the public rights of way to provide natural gas services. And whereas ordinance number 1265, Exhibit A, Section 27, provides as follows. The grantee shall, within 30 days from the date of this ordinance is adopted, file with the city is written unconditional acceptance of this franchise in the form attached as Exhibit 1. If the grantee fails to do so, this ordinance shall be void. Whereas Northwest Natural Gas did not file its written unconditional acceptance of the franchise within 30 days of adoption, and therefore ordinance 1265 is void. And whereas ordinance 1265 has inconsistent language, including provisions regarding the effective date of the franchise and its public interest to clarify the inconsistent language of the franchise. Now therefore, the City of Junction City ordains as follows. Section 1, grant of franchise. The City Council grants the franchise attached as Exhibit A to Northwest Natural Gas Company. Section 2, repeal. Ordinance 1122, an ordinance granting a non-exclusive gas utility franchise to Northwest Natural Gas Company, is repealed as of the effective date of this franchise granted by this ordinance. Ordinance 1122 shall govern the use of public rights of way and public places by Northwest Natural Gas from the effective date of this ordinance, from the effective date of ordinance number 1122 to the effective date of the franchise granted by this ordinance. Section 3, emergency clause. For the preservation of peace, health, and safety of Junction City, Oregon, and due to the expiration of the Northwest Natural Gas franchise adopted by ordinance number 1122, an emergency is declared to exist, and this ordinance shall become immediately operative and in force from and after the date of adoption by the Junction City Council. The franchise shall become operative and in force from and after the effective date as defined by the franchise, read in full in its first meeting on the 12th day of October, 2021.
Thank you. Okay, now, since this has come to us before, and it's just a redo because of natural gas, because of the Northwest Natural Gas, how does the council want to proceed? If we consider it at the meeting tonight, we'll have to require a unanimous vote of the council.
I'm in favor of proceeding with it.
As am I.
Yeah, I'd second.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody object to it? Okay, not. Okay. I would entertain a motion to read the ordinance number one by title only.
Madam Mayor.
Do I hear a second?
I make a motion to read ordinance number one by title only.
Thank you.
I second that.
Moved and seconded that we do read it by title only, the ordinance number one for Northwest Natural. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Okay, the ordinance is to be read by title only.
Ordinance number one, an ordinance granting a non-exclusive franchise with Northwest Natural Gas Company for the operation and maintenance of a system to provide natural gas services, repealing ordinance number 1122 and declaring an emergency.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion. Do we approve it?
Do I hear a second to adopt ordinance number one? Okay. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. And the vote is unanimous and that is passed. Now we will move on to our next, which is a resolution updating committee bylaws, and I'll turn it over to Administrator Canope.
Yes, ma'am. So before the council tonight is the results from the last work session where the council reviewed updates to the committee bylaws. Specifically, in this case, it's attached as Exhibit A to Resolution Number 1, but this was the changes to allow for removal of a committee member for being excessively absent and for unexcused absences. The language is in red, so it's easy for the council to see, but if this matches with everybody's recollection, I'm looking for the council to adopt Resolution Number 1 to make these changes effective.
Do we need a reading of the resolution?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right.
I do have a question, if I may.
Yes.
Is this the one also in this? Should it be the one that we talked about talking at each committee?
So that's actually the next item, the port pastor.
Okay.
Yeah, if everybody recalls, I said it's going to come back in two pieces, even though the council reviewed it as one.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Entertain a motion to approve Resolution Number 1.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution Number 1.
I second that.
Moved and seconded that we adopt the resolution as presented tonight. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The motion, Resolution Number 1 passes.
Thank you, Jason.
Now we have the updated committee agenda forecaster, and that is also Administrator Canope.
Yes, ma'am. So for the council's consideration tonight is an updated forecaster. If you look at page 6 of the agenda forecaster, that is the draft meeting agenda template. And if you notice on there, you'll have item number 4 and item number 5 are the two items that the council requested to be on the template. So keeping in mind, I do want to make sure everybody knows, the chairs can change the order of it. I happen to have them listed in the middle. So the chairs can move them whether they want it at the beginning or the end, but they can't be removed if the council adopts it. But the order can change. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yep.
So for this one, it's not by resolution, but I'm just looking for a motion from the council to adopt the forecaster as presented. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Is there any questions?
No. I'll go ahead and make a motion if there's no questions.
Don't hear
I'll second
it.
That.
Go ahead.
I make a motion to adopt the committee agenda forecaster template as presented.
I'll second that.
Should I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. So. And moved and seconded. All those in favor of this motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. Matt passes unanimously. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jason. You heard us right, I think.
Sometimes my hearing fails. I got to double check.
Okay. And the next is the Police Department Building Purchase Temporary Funding. And that, again, is Administrator Canope. I have a question before we go on with this. This is pretty much like what we talked about at the September 28th meeting under number 6. So I would assume this is a done deal, but it's just getting back to us.
Yes, this is. So first off, I owe the council an apology. I got my wires crossed with Mike. This resolution should have been in the packet. I was under the impression I didn't have to do it until later, but Mike very nicely corrected me that I was wrong. So what this resolution does tonight is recognizes the funding from the state for the purchase of the building, the $320,000, and sets the appropriations in the police capital fund. So, and that's, and this is just a simple budget resolution, so it doesn't require anything fancy. But with that, we put some language in here that if for whatever reason the funding gets screw up, for whatever reason, don't care what the reason is, what will happen is it will convert to an interfund loan that the police department will be responsible for to repay over the next 10 years. We're not anticipating that, but I wanted something so everybody knew when you read this, we're looking, here's what we're hoping, or what we're planning to happen, here's what happens in worst case. So that way, it isn't just something that disappears into the ether, so to speak. It's, we're laying the plan out now, so everybody's aware of it on the front end, that the funding will, you know, we're recognizing the funding. The funding is anticipated to pay for it. We're waiting on the Department of Administrative Services. They once again have changed the way they're going to approach it. They're now, instead of requiring us to apply, they're just going to directly award based on agreements. So we're still waiting for their legal department to finish their process. So it's not an if, it's just a win at this point. But I know there was concerns, but I want to make sure that we approach this with more of a belt and suspenders approach, so there was no question of what happens if. Because I know that question has been asked multiple times. What happens if this doesn't happen? Well, here's what's going to happen. That, you know, it'll be a 10-year loan, interfund loan, just like what Public Works did for the water treatment plant. That's that same concept. So we're going to apply to this building that if it doesn't come through, then the PD will be responsible for it.
Is there any reason to think that it won't come through? From what I've been told, it is definitely coming through.
We're 99.99%, but I've been bit by 0.01% before in the last, in the past. So I just, you know, that way that it's just really clear. That way nobody says, well, why did you do this? If that 0.01% happens, I want to be very clear, very transparent with everybody. I don't think it'll be used. I really don't. But just in case.
I think that's...
Any other questions from any of the council?
I do have a question about the... I'm a little bit confused on the price. Sure. What was the original price of the building? And was the payments, the lease payments or rent payments, were they taken off the top?
Yeah, we were three something. And we had $40,000, a little over $40,000 worth of rent payments that was taken off that got us to $295,000.
Okay. Well, that's, I looked and couldn't find figures, and that's, I was...
Yeah. Now, those are round numbers, so...
Right. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm trying to pull them off the top of my head, but it's...
Yeah.
I know we got that $40,000-ish credit for our rent.
Okay. So between the 40 and the 30 then. Okay. 30 earnest money?
Yep.
Okay. So...
$295,000, we'll pay the other $265,000,
yeah,
and be done.
Okay. So what kind of a balance does that leave in the revolving loan fund? Worst case scenario, you know.
Yeah, so right now, just for rough numbers, unless Mike has numbers over there, he's scrambling. We have a little over $700,000 or $800,000 in appropriations.
800.
Yeah, so you would be $500,000 left in there.
So there'll be $500,000 left,
yeah, yeah,
after this.
Numbers. That's not counting the unappropriated ending fund balance. I'm talking about just what was appropriated to be spent. There was another $800,000. $900,000 in the unappropriated that won't be touched. So that's still there. I'm just being out of this year's appropriations.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yep. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there any questions, other questions or comments from any of the rest of the council?
I have.
Yes.
I just want to make sure, because this is a touchy subject, that, you know, when... We discussed this money. It's guaranteed. It's mm-hmm. guaranteed. It's a for sure. It's a done deal. It's signed. It's whatever. And here we're in October, and we haven't seen it yet.
Correct.
So now we're going to Plan B as a backup with the revolving loan fund. So I just want to make sure that if we have to... Like, if the police department basically has to borrow money, does the police department have over the next 10 years to pay that back already?
Yes, like, is they that have the ability to do so.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. that money was guaranteed, and...
Yep. And keeping in mind, normally, in a normal, regular situation, I wouldn't have put as much into this resolution. You would have seen acknowledgement of the grant funds and the appropriation, and we would have been done. What Mike and I attempted to do, knowing the sensitivity of this issue, was to lay out more in these whereases than we normally would, so everybody was aware of what all the plan is. So it's not, we weren't trying to surprise anybody. Whether it was the council, whether it was the police department, whether it was the public, we wanted to be extra clear on exactly what we're doing. So that way, no one can come back and say, well, you didn't say XYZ. We anticipate the money any day now. I mean, so what Mike and I are hoping is it'll come in this month, and we won't even touch the RLF. That's Plan A. Plan A is still on the table, but we wanted everybody to know what Plan B and C was as well. So that way it wasn't a surprise to anybody if it has to happen that way.
Okay, because I just don't want something to happen, like if we have to go to the revolving loan fund and this money doesn't come through, and then the police department has to do something else because maybe over the next 10 years they're not able to, and so now we have to have another plan, and then we have too many plans.
Yeah. There's a Plan A and a Plan B.
Okay.
I've been told by the state that the money, the governor signed it, the money is there, it just hasn't been distributed yet.
We're just working through the administrative process is what it boils down to. Yeah. We're just waiting, you know, unfortunately, Department of Administrative Services right now is slammed. There's so many things that then that got dropped in their lap because originally that wasn't what the intent was, and someone bawled and told them that they were going to handle this. So they're trying their best to incorporate it, and it just takes a little time, so.
That's what I was told also, so.
I have another question.
Yes.
The figures are what I'm, the money that's supposed to come from the state, will that cover the interest money?
Yes, because right now, the 295 is the total bill. We only put 30 down, so we're at 265.
Okay.
What's coming from the state is 320.
Okay.
So it's more than enough to cover. It'll cover everything, the interest money plus the remaining balance.
Okay. Thank you.
But you still feel that we need this resolution?
Yes, ma'am. I absolutely need to have it to be able to finish the closing so we can pay Mr. Farris and get this done.
So unless there is any further comments or questions, I will entertain this resolution number two, a motion.
Where's the script?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have one. I make a motion
you just
to
have to kind of wing it. Make a motion to accept resolution number two.
Go ahead.
I'll make a motion to accept resolution number two.
Do I hear a second?
Yes.
Been moved and seconded, and I... I'm going to do this by, rather than what way you've been doing the votes. How say you, Councillor Ken Wells?
Yes.
Councillor John Gamby?
Yes.
Councillor Sandy Thomas?
I don't think, no.
Councillor Andrea Seneca?
Yes.
Councillor Sid Washburn?
No.
Councillor Karen Leach.
Well, it's already in the works, so it is what it is. So, yes.
Okay, the motion passes. Resolution, I should say, for number two motion. Okay. And now we will go with the set of schedule for the city administrators. Evaluation. So I would assume that is also Administrator Knope, or I guess that would be me. So this is setting a date, I would think. Mike, anybody know what this is? I don't have anything. There was no information given in my packet, so.
None of us got any.
Mayor, I might be able to help out
yes.
on this one.
Okay.
So, from my understanding, the council approved the evaluation forms at the last meeting.
Yeah.
And so now the next step is to figure out when those forms are going to, the date for submitting those forms, who to submit those forms to, and then potentially even setting a date for when the evaluation process will be reviewed between the council and the city administrator.
Okay.
So, as far as what date the council prefers, I mean, that's up to you, and as far as who the council members should be submitting the individual assessment forms to, it could be an individual counselor, it could be the city attorney's office, to then merge the seven individual forms into one consolidated performance evaluation so that Jason doesn't have seven different forms. He's got one form that at a future date the council will approve, I suppose.
I'm sorry, Mark, I was, yeah, thinking about something else instead of paying attention that you were sitting right there to do this. So we need to set a schedule up, and what is the wishes of the council?
Doesn't this need to be done in executive session?
Setting the dates?
Second, yeah.
Setting the dates do not need to be done in...
No, setting the date doesn't have to be...
The review of the evaluations can be.
Okay.
And typically are.
So I would like to have at least a couple weeks to work on those forms. I thought the council did a good job of creating the forms and the staff. But once we get the forms in our hands, I'd like to have at least a couple weeks to work through them. I don't want to try to do it like overnight or... So that's my only thought on this process. So depending on the date, I'd like to have at least, you know...
Some time.
2 to 3 weeks to get my homework done.
So when are we set to receive those, Mark?
I think there's nothing stopping us from distributing those now or as soon as possible.
Yeah.
How does the rest of the council feel on this?
I have a question. I want to make sure you stated that we could give them back to you and you guys can consolidate it down to one simple form, correct?
Correct.
I think that'd be one of the best ways to go with it instead of having everybody on a different sheet here.
I think everybody fills out their own sheet and brings them back and I put it on the one.
You fill them out and bring them back and then
consolidate them. And somehow get them submitted to me in my office and then I can consolidate them, average the scores, consolidate the narrative comments that you all counselors provide, and then come back to the council to review the merged document, make some adjustments if needed, and then eventually approve that as the official performance evaluation.
Does that sound acceptable to everyone? Anyone have objections to that? And I like Councilor Gamby that we need at least 2 weeks, I would think, in order to do this and do this properly. Before we turn them in. Yes.
I would suggest that we turn them in at our November 9th meeting. That would give us 4 weeks. I think that this is the first time that this council has done a project like this. And I'm speaking from my own personal work knowledge. This is not an easy task, and we need to do it right. And so I think an extra week in there or 2 weeks, I appreciate Councilor Gamby's suggestion, but I'd like to make it 4 weeks. That way, everybody has an opportunity to make sure what they turn in, they feel good about. And then legal counsel will take it from there.
So when would we actually have the evaluations in our hands?
I think we could distribute those either by email tomorrow or whatever you prefer, if we want to have a hard copy for you to come pick up, whatever is easiest. But by tomorrow, we can have them available.
I don't know how the rest of the council feels. I'd rather have a hard copy in my hand.
Absolutely.
Than have it out there in the, yeah, on the web or some, or text or any in way, that way. So how does the rest of the hard copy in your hands?
I would agree with that.
Probably more than one copy, I would suggest. You guys a couple of copies? Oh, you can do hard copy, give you a couple of copies?
Yes, so I'm going to say give us a work copy and then one to fill out. Yes, appreciate it. And will those be delivered or do we need to pick them up?
We'll get them delivered.
Kitty's not
very much. Appreciate that.
Well, she's not here. Especially week, so I'll think about that for a second.
Oh,
one way
no.
or the other, we'll get them delivered.
Okay. No.
Okay, is that all right with all the rest of the council? Is this... Okay, and we will do what Councilor Wells suggested and have them back at that November date. Okay. All righty. So that's taken care of. Now we need to reschedule the council GO session and the five.
I have a question, sorry.
Yes, yes.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
But to go back to that, so if we were to provide that information in a month at our next regular meeting, then what would happen next?
Then I would take those and require some amount of time to consolidate them. So you would just be turning them in at that meeting.
Uh-huh.
And then at a future meeting, there would be discussion on that merged document with the council, likely an executive session, to ensure that I captured what the council wants captured in the one consolidated agreement.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then that document, then you can review with Mr. Cano at a executive session.
But we might edit it when you bring it back. You're saying the council could still have some edit over it?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like when the staff gets an assignment, you're bringing it back, and then we're still trying to, like, okay. So the actual meeting with Jason probably would be early next year, 2022, if that's in November and you need a little time, and then it's all of a sudden we're into, is it most likely it would be like January or February or?
So keep in mind, typically the council doesn't hold the second meeting of the month in months of November and December due to the holidays.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, just going to point that out. So,
yeah.
So we'll be looking at possibly our first meeting in January?
Well, I mean, I think we can shoot for the first meeting in December.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
I don't need 2 months, I don't think, to consolidate
those. By the time they get the chance to review and get back, it might be.
Correct. So the meeting where I bring back my draft consolidated eval will be early December, and then the meeting with Jason will be early January.
Would be in January.
And then at that December meeting, we'd have an executive session to discuss that with you?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. That. Thank you. I was trying to see down the road a little bit.
Thank you for doing that. Yeah. Okay. So we'll move on now to the rescheduling of the council goals session and the 5, 10, and 20-year plans. How does the council feel? Do you want to try and move in October, or do we want to put that off until sometime in November?
Is there any way we can do this for one of our works, like our work sessions, and not add an extra? Okay.
I think that's what counselor to my left here was going to ask. That would be fine with me as long as we don't have too big of agenda. What does, I looked at the forecaster. Administrator Canope, is that possible?
So if you look at, keeping in mind we don't, normally the council doesn't do the November or December work session,
yeah.
So I'm going to assume that's still going to be the case. So that would mean October or January. October, I'm not sure how long the LCOG Board of Directors report or the Lane Act report would be, but I do know we have a revenue allocation review on there for the work session in October. My suspicion originally was going to come to the council just at a regular meeting, but I wanted it to go to a work session so the council had more time to ask questions and kind of dig into it a little bit before it's asked to make a decision. Now, if the council wanted, we could move that just straight to the November meeting, the revenue allocations review to November, and have the discussion in November. And then that would free up the October work session for the goal sessions if that's what the council would like. Completely fine either way. I mean, we can still have that, you know, dig in type discussion in November, with the mindset of not trying to pass it in November, but to get the council a chance to review and ask questions, with the mindset of passing the allocation adjustment or whatever happens from that in December, which would still get us done in time for the start of the next budget cycle, which is the key piece that, from staff standpoint, we're looking at is, if council wants to take action on that, we want it by the end of the calendar year so we can incorporate it into the budget process going forward. Once I kind of drug all that out, I want to make sure people knew we were looking at that end goal. As really kind of strange to think we're about ready to start budget process again. It's like, seems like we just got done.
That brings up a question. When we normally, every October, have a budget committee meeting, and that has not been set. I haven't heard anything about that. Because we usually have one in October. Are we not having one this year?
Typically, that's something the council discusses if it wants to do.
Well, I think the budget committee probably thinks it's good. The rest of the budget committee thinks it normally happens because we meet quarterly.
The problem we would have to watch is you can't discuss next year's budget. We can only review what's going on this year for it. And if that's what the council would like to do, we're more than happy to do so. Typically, January, February-ish, somewhere in there, that's where we start bringing the budget committee up to speed on new concepts. So that maybe have a little more fruit for them, that maybe a little more for them to sink their teeth into. But we would be more than happy to try to squeeze one in October if the council would like us to.
But we've done that in the past.
Off and on, yes.
What would be, as far as I can go back on records, we've been doing it in quarterly, and it's been in October, would have been be up for a meeting. So it is, Mike, is this a problem for you to have it like we normally have it?
The discussion at the last budget committee meeting was for January.
Was what?
Was for January.
Was for January? Okay. I must have missed that on my reading of it. How does the council feel?
Well, there's a couple things that we're still discussing in finance and judiciary that have to do with that. So my feeling is that we'd be benefited more by having the discussion that we're talking about, figuring out how to get those two discussions on our calendar right now, because if we don't get through those discussions, then we're not going to really be ready for the... So I'm kind of, I remember what you're saying too. I remember having some October meetings. I'm just, right now I'm feeling a little bit stretched in terms of having that meeting to discuss the budget percentages like we're talking about, and having the other meeting in finance and judiciary, which is covering another aspect of this, and then and the council goal session. Like, I just feel like I'd like to get those three things done rather than schedule another budget committee meeting right now, personally.
So then shoot for January, you think?
I'd be fine with that, personally.
How does the rest of the council feel?
So we'll
and then we'll get back to the other subjects.
So what will happen is Mike will bring a draft agenda in December.
Okay.
Along with some potential calendar dates for folks that, to see what will work.
Okay.
And really, like you were saying, we can't discuss next year's budget. What this will really do is a review of where we are this year and how we're doing against budget and projections. And I think that is, like you were saying, those are the kind of things that we did with in the past, so that we weren't caught with any surprises next year, that we knew going in what our base is right now at whatever, whether it be January or whatever. And I think that's a great idea.
I think it's really helpful too to new members to the budget committee.
Correct.
I know from staff standpoint, we really appreciate having them because it lets us bounce ideas off the budget committee and get a kind of a sense of where they're at a little bit, so it helps us better tune what we're doing. So it's not as contentious when it comes time to actually start working through the budget.
Okay, so let me recap here. We'll be doing our council go session and possibly go into the 5, 10, and 20-year plan at our next work session, which is 2 weeks from now. And then as far as the budget committee meeting would be sometime in January.
Does that work for everybody else? January works for me.
Is that okay? I'm getting nods from everybody. So both of those are all right with the rest of the council? Okay, and that's what we will do.
Now, what were we going to do with revenue allocations? We were going to leave it?
It's going to go to November.
So it will go to the November?
The November regular meeting.
Regular meeting, yeah. I'm sorry, I forgot to add that. Thank you. Okay, and then we have the committee reports. Who would like to start?
I'll start. Thank you. So we ended up having a couple public safety meetings, switched our schedule with public safety, so we ended up having an additional public safety meeting in August. So we're still on track to have all 12 for the year, but we canceled the one at the end of September because there was a kind of a big issue on our agenda. Not really a big issue, but it's one that, you know, the reality is we may have a split vote. So I wanted Councilor Wells to be there as well as Councilor Washburn so we could just decide the thing and not drag it on for another meeting. Councilor Wells, I'm glad you're back, but we didn't have a public safety meeting at the end of September. I'm hoping we can have one at the end of October and get that issue resolved. So that's a little update on that committee.
Okay, and while we're at it, would you like to go to the Finance and Judiciary Committee since you're...
Yeah, and I'd already commented on a couple of things we're doing in there, so I'm going to let that stand for now and save you guys a couple minutes. But yeah, there's always stuff going on in there. It's an interesting committee, and I think we're down to about 6 things on our list that we're trying to still get tackled before the end of the year. So,
Councilor Washburn, would you like to report on your 2 committees?
We just extended the contract with HBEH extended that contract, but it expired as well. Right now we'll come back to, we decided to order new totes, which we do every year at this time to get some in. And then looking at the forecasters, the Public Works is really getting a lot of things done before winter really sets in. I got some projects going that hopefully we can get done before we get hit with a lot of rain. And then on community service, we had an update on the reserve park being worked on. It's coming along. It's going to be a project to take care of. But one of the big discussions we had was projects for the pool, what we might, you know, long-range forecast, what we want to do with the pool to update it and everything, and then big discussion on the community center, the upgrades that we need to be doing there. And that's all I've got.
Thank you. And Councilor Seneca.
This month for community development, we ended up canceling the meeting. But we do have coming up at the next meeting, Gary, I forget her name, sorry, with ODOT.
Yeah, with
ODOT. ODOT coming to give a presentation. And so hopefully we will have some good stuff to report back after that. So if anybody wants to come to community development, that'd be fantastic to have somebody in the audience. Anybody?
You'll have the light parade at that meeting too.
And the light parade, yes.
All right. Well, thank you all so much, counselors, for those reports. Appreciate it. Administrator Canope, did you have anything on the council agenda forecast or anything more you wanted to add?
Yes, okay. So we had 2 things. So based on what happened in tonight's meeting with Laura Siders, she'll be at the beginning of the work session meeting. You asked her to come back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So just so you know, there's that there. And on the back of the agenda forecaster is an agenda item request form. And I'm just looking for some direction from the council on how they would like to proceed with that.
Okay, you're talking about the letter from
Mr. Thomas.
December. Okay.
We're will say I did try to work with Mr. Sumner, and the examples he did give me all conform to the program. There is some confusion with the, at the time when the business pandemic program was created. The Mayor Crenshaw at that point in time was trying to create a alternate program being funded out of the RLF. It ultimately didn't go anywhere because he wanted an outside company to monitor that program, but the fees were too high, so it just died. The committee, there was a special committee to look at criteria that met once. Mr. Sumner had requested that, and in some of my discussions with him, he was using that criteria in applying it to the business pandemic program, which was a different set of criteria. So when you looked at the actual business pandemic criteria, there wasn't a misuse of funds, or, you know, everybody met all the eligibility requirements to receive funds. So, like I said, I don't see any. Director Crocker looked into it. If this is something the council wanted to do, and we're looking at a somewhere between a $5,000 and a $10,000 expense that we don't have budgeted this year. Council wants a committee to review this. I'm happy to do that. Or if council would just like to move on, I'm fine with that. If council wants to have it at a regular council meeting, I'm fine with that as well. I'm just looking for some direction.
Okay, what answer exactly did you give Mr. Sumner?
With each example that he gave me, I showed him, replied back, and emailed with saying where, what part of the criteria it followed. So that, you know, kind of lay it out so it was clear. So he gave me two or three examples, I want to say. There are some that he felt that, oh, let's say if someone was on the council, they shouldn't have gotten funds, but that wasn't a criteria requirement. If you look at the business pandemic program, it didn't say, it didn't prohibit anybody who was on council or on a committee from receiving funds if they had a business in town. One was the business owner lived out of town, but his businesses were in town. The criteria says the businesses had to be in town, not where the owner resided. That wasn't a criteria issue. We have one gentleman, he has a business here in town, but he lives in Eugene, for example. Well, business is in town, so it was eligible. So,
and was Mr. Sumner satisfied?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
So.
So you're just notifying us of this, or?
Correct. And if council would like to take action on it, I would just need to know what the council would like to do with
and
it.
How does the council feel?
I have a question. I'm confused. And I understand, because I had a whole bunch of emails after I went home. A forensic audit, if we were going to do a forensic audit, we wouldn't want to just do it on that anyway. Isn't it usually more involved from what I...
Yeah, they can be pretty involved, depending on what level the council wants to go to. I mean, we would have to go through a selection process to hire someone to do the work. Then the council would have to create a scope of what it wanted to see done, and then hire a firm or individual to do that work, whatever that is. I mean, Mike probably speak to it better than I could, but, it's like hiring any consultant. There's a process we would go through, and I'm kind of at a loss, to be quite honest. That's why when Mr. Sumner was not happy, I said, well, you can put an agenda item request before the council and let the council consider it. So that's where we're at today.
But if there's no basis, I can't understand why we would do it if there's no basis to the examples that he gave are to Mike, what is your opinion? You'd be the financial person.
Jason says correct. You have the program, and occasionally you'll see state agency have a forensic audit about something, a project. So it's not uncommon, but it is fairly expensive. I mean, you're hiring a professional just like you hire engineers and auditors and lawyers. So you have that process that you have to go through, and that's going to involve, the council and figuring out, what the criteria is. That takes a little bit of time, but I'm not saying it's not worth doing. It's up to council.
But this is spending money from, because one taxpayer, even though there is nothing that was done wrong, is, so how does the council, I was taught down here at the end, how do you feel Councilor Wells.
You know, I believe in transparency. I believe in citizen input. And I think that sometimes maybe we didn't budget funds to do something, and maybe we come out with the same result, but sometimes maybe we look more transparent and to our citizens, we're trying to work with them. Maybe it's the right thing to do sometimes. And I know maybe we would have to set some guidelines and do all this stuff, but that's our job. Nobody said that our job was easy. And maybe some of the examples that Mr. Sumner brought forward didn't qualify, but maybe there might be others that would be an issue. I don't know. I don't know how many items there are. I've seen the same paperwork all of you have. So I guess I'm just kind of very open to it. And I would say, for transparency.
And I agree with Ken. I think that transparency is huge. And I think that so many people have questioned this. I'm not real sure what Jack wants, but I kind of think I know. But I'm like Ken, I'm open to this. I think we need to get back to being very transparent about what we're doing, and especially with our money. Okay. So that's where I'm at.
Am I hearing this wrong? This is coming from what? Have we heard anybody else that has brought this forward? It's just this one citizen?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And this would be how much of an outlay for the city?
Right. Wasn't that, I know it was in the $5,000 range.
Okay.
I mean, I would think in terms of that.
Okay, okay. Councilor Gamby.
Well, I, Jack asked the council to release the list of people that received the funds from the program. The council did that. That's now a list that anybody can see, or, you know, a lot of people have seen it. Anybody can go down that list and see if it meets the criteria. I mean, in essence, all that information is already public. You can look and see every business name, and there's only a couple criteria to this program. So any of us could do that audit ourselves. I mean, technically Jack can do the audit himself because the list is already there. And you can look at the list and say, this person lives in Junction City. So in terms of transparency, I mean, like, the list is already out there. This council already approved the list going out there.
Okay,
now, there's two programs that started at the beginning, like Administrator Canope, and that made some confusion perhaps for some people. I don't know, but the criteria for the program that passed is the criteria that matters. And I don't know if, I mean, there was no criteria for the other program because the other program never passed.
I point out two things on this request real quick to bring people's sure. attention.
Yeah.
It says, quote, in addition, especially sitting council members of council that had a conflict of interest should not have been eligible. That was his opinion, quite honestly, because that was not a criteria. I mean, maybe it should, I'm not weighing in on that, but the way the program was passed by the council at the time, that was not on there. But I think what's really is telling to what Councilor Gamby is saying no information was given on whether or not any of these requesters applied for the SBA's Payroll Protection Program loan. Again, that is not was never even a consideration or a requirement in the business pandemic program. So yeah, I think that was talked about with the mayor's program that never went anywhere at the time. So just wanted to, he's saying we're not doing these things, but they were never part of it. At any given point in time.
Does he really understand that there was two programs and one of them never went into fruition and never didn't get off the starting block?
I tried to explain that. He seemed to understand it at the time, but I don't know. I sent he had requested the documentation for both programs and I sent him both. I know he was very concerned, quite honestly, with Councilor Gamby. That's what he spoke about the most.
Sure, my name's on the list.
Yeah, so, and Corey Walker. Those were two names, those are the two examples he kept coming back to, and it's, again, everything met the numbers, like it was supposed to. So I, you know, so that's where we just kind of kept spinning in circles, where eventually we ended up where we are today. And like I said, I'm fine with whatever the council would like to do.
Councilor Seneca.
Oh, boy. So I feel like a little bit, I'm going to go both ways on this, because I feel a little bit like we've been beating this horse, or, you know, for this has been going on since this started with this pandemic money. At the same time, I agree with Councilor Wells and that we need to be transparent, and we should have nothing to hide. Questions should be asked, they should be answered. We shouldn't hold nothing back, especially to our community members, our taxpayers. We should hold nothing back. But part of me, looking at this, and I think Administrator Knoop kind of just hit it on the head a little bit there, that he's discussed these things specifically. I know there's some concerns that have been brought up about Councilor Gamby, and that's being looked at elsewhere as well. And so we don't have it budgeted, but I think for $5,000 and transparency is not asking a lot. So I'm wondering, before we do a forensic audit or request a forensic audit, what about making it available in writing so anybody and everybody who wants it can have a copy of it, answering these specific questions and having it out there so that it's there? And then if there's still questions and still concerns and he still doesn't feel there's an answer, he got the right answer. I guess I don't know what Jack is wanting besides what's right here, which I feel like has been answered. But at the same time, the transparency part of it is where I go back and forth on. And then I look at, it's not budgeted, but $5,000 isn't asking a lot to be transparent either. So I could go either way on this. If we can make it simple, answer his questions, have it in writing, make it available out there, put it on our website, whatever we need to do to resolve this and move forward. If this is all the concern is, you know, this right here is all the concern is, then I think we should just do it. If that's not enough, and he can come back and tell us what he thinks a forensic audit may show us that we can't answer him, then we can look at a forensic audit at that point. Unless somebody, I don't know. I don't know. I probably just left everybody very confused on my answer. I don't know where to go with this.
Councilor Washburn.
I agree with Councilor Wells. Transparency is the best thing, and you know, $5,000 isn't going to be that much to ask to do something that shows the citizens we're doing our job and doing what they ask. That's all I have.
And I've always said from day one, transparency, transparency. And I understand that there's a little confusion with him, but there's a whole lot more that makes it that I can understand why he's confused. I know you've explained it, and I get that because I got the same look. So maybe to show, and I'm sure he's not the only citizen asking this question. So that's where I am.
The only caution I would give the council is perception, a little bit, how we phrase things going forward, because the other side of this, and I'm not saying this is to change what the council is doing, it's just to be careful as we go forward, because now, if you're not careful, you're going to give the impression that you're accusing staff of wrongdoing. So be a little careful how we phrase it. That's all I'm asking as we go forward. As it goes forward, I'm not going to be involved with it. I can't be, because really, Mr. Sumner is accusing me of doing wrong. So I don't feel it'd be appropriate for me to be point on this. So I will turn it over to Mike and let him run point on it as finance director. So And, you know, and I said, I have no problem with it, but I just want to make sure we're all aware of perception again. Mm-hmm. You know, transparency, I 100% agree, but be careful with the perception we're given as well. Mm-hmm. I'll ask.
Okay. And I'm, at least I, that's not what I was saying at all. It had nothing to do.
No, well, I understand that's not what anybody's saying, but I just want to make sure we're cognizant of that going forward so we don't inadvertently give that perception. Mm-hmm. Because then it's a different animal at that point.
Mike, do you have anything to add on that note?
No, I think it's a good discussion. You also have the option of, you know, council committee, like finance committee, or whatever the appropriate committee would be. You might be able to answer more questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm hearing is we have to be open to citizen input into the way we do things as a council, and I agree with that, and we definitely need to be transparent, that's for sure. And the cost would be $5,000. But the fact is the city has already given out the list that he is wanting. And it's out there for the public. So the question's been asked and been answered from what I'm hearing. But we do need to, as Andrea said, we need to resolve this and be able to move on. And what I was hearing was three for doing the audit, one maybe and one no. But now you brought in something different in that how it might be perceived by this public that we're talking about.
So what I would suggest to the council is having finance and judiciary work on a scope of work, you know, for to put out an RFP. That's what I would suggest at this point. And
that's what Mike is suggesting also. So
yeah, well, I think Mike was talking a little more of having more of an open discussion about it at F&J, try to answer questions, and I don't think that's going to be fruitful. I think the only thing that will be fruitful is doing the actual audit. So the first step to that is getting an RFP put together for the council to review to issue to be able to hire the appropriate person. And then let it go forward from there.
So we will turn this back over to the finance committee. Okay, and then you can come back. All right.
Okay.
All right. Now we're going to move on.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Can someone in the audience raise a question on this issue?
Yes, would you come to the mic and state your name and address, please?
Cindy Montgomery, 1215 Oak Street. So I have a question. I hate to be the one to bring it up, but if it goes to F&J and Mr. Sumner's problem is with council members who received money and that person is the chair of the F&J, is there a conflict?
No, because he's not dealing with the issue, whether or not it's being done. It's being directed by council to put this together, so the choice is not in the chair of F&J. F&J has to put an RFP together. Now, alternatively, the council, rather, Mike can bring one directly back to the council, too. That's fine. Either way. Just typically in the past, it's worked through committees. When council gives direction, committees can't say, no, we don't want to do that.
Right, but if you are looking for transparency, and I'm pretty sure that that is what Mr. Sumner's issue is that something was voted on and then received, and whether that's proper, improper conflict or not, by sending or voting or commenting on that or this issue, could be perceived as a conflict.
I think it's been investigated. I don't think there was anything improper done at all, from what I understand. Am I wrong in that?
I'm not up to speed. All I know is the issues that were being looked into wasn't the fact whether Councilor Gamble mm-hmm. received money or not. That was not the issue.
Yeah. Well, we're going to turn it over to the financial committee, and you can come back with it, okay?
So are we going to bring it back? Is he going to bring it back to us as council?
Yes, to the council. Yes. Yeah.
So what is going to be the job of the finance committee? I'm getting really confused here.
Yeah. So is it going to F&J or is it coming back to council?
It's going to F&J first, and then back to council.
We'll put together a scope of work that the F&J would review to make sure it, you know, gave comments on whether add more, less, whatever, as far as the scope. You know, Mike will get some examples to work from, just like we would put together any RFP. Once the committee's reviewed it, said, yep, send it to council then reviews it, says, yep, looks good, send it out the door, let's get someone on board.
Okay.
So just like we would with any other consultant.
Going through the steps, which I think is what is also transparency.
But really what you're assigning the committee and Director Crocker is to come up with an RFP.
Correct.
Then that will come back to council.
Council.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Okay. Not the question of whether or not it should be.
It's, exactly.
The council's already made this, from what I've heard,
yes.
decision, let's do it.
Yes.
So now
the majority of the council did.
That next step in doing
okay.
it. And also Mike will have to come up with some areas, whether it's a transfer out of contingency or whatever to fund it as well,
sure.
okay. which makes sense to go through avenue.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Now we're going to move on to staff reports, and we'll go to the police department first.
I've got nothing tonight.
Nothing tonight. Okay. We'll go on to Director Cappy.
I also have nothing tonight.
Okay. And we'll move right along to Director Crocker.
Well, I was just going to say, I can't name them all, but Finance Committee has kept me pretty busy, and they've been pretty busy. At their last meeting, they gave me a couple of those were things like the donation policy that they had worked on for a couple of meetings. So this wasn't just a quick thing. These were actually things that they've been working on. So we'll get those into the council agenda over the next couple of months.
Okay. Nothing.
Hopped enough for one night.
Mark, did you have something you wanted to add?
So real quick on the evaluation forms, if you're going to print those, do your best to keep it legible for me. But really my update was that
now you're making it hard.
Karen Conley just wanted to relay that council policy and rules are going to be in front of you November 9th. She's been working with staff on those. And then, you know, something that I've been working with, the city, Junction City hasn't been, the school district has, the fire district has, is this vaccine mandate. That with an October 18th mm-hmm. deadline for teachers, healthcare providers, which encompasses our firefighters, which are EMTs, and then executive branch employees have this October 18th deadline. Like I said, it doesn't affect the city, but it's out there in the community. It's just something that we've, our office has been dealing with quite a bit, and so I just figured I'd kind of raise that as an update to the councils as far as some of your community members that they're facing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. And next will be Director Crocker on the previous month's expenditures.
We just included or emailed out to you the expenditure report as normal, so if you have any questions on that. Or if you think of any later, I'm certainly glad to.
Madam Mayor, I have.
Yeah, Washburn does.
Director Crocker, what is the one for $1,230 for Maple Springs Apartments?
Can you tell me what the coding is?
It was on page 8.
It's on page 8.
I got
8.
The same thing.
Yeah, it's on. Is it
001.
Let me find it here. 001-00-11-0030.
Okay, that's some kind of a pass-through.
That's a pass-through engineering bill.
Okay.
What's that?
Okay. Development costs. Yeah.
And then I have a couple questions for Chief Morris.
I have to interrupt and say I was kind of impressed that you guys needed that number. He just read
both of them. Both of them.
Both of you guys. Just
new for you guys.
You use that quite often.
I understand buying a refrigerator, but I'd rather see if we're going to buy a $600 refrigerator, we buy it from local and show our support for the community instead of buying it from Lowe's.
It was for the patrol room. The refrigerator that we have is shut, and that was about a third of the cost. It was a markdown refrigerator.
What did anybody check with Nielsen's? They're local right here.
They usually match prices. For them.
No, I don't believe so.
That's what I'm getting at. I think we need to buy local if possible to show our support for the community.
I take that under advisement, the staff, for future expenditures. Okay, we have councilors' comments, questions. We'll start with Councilor Thomas.
Well, I just want to say it looks like everybody's been working hard except for couple staff. No, I'm kidding. No report. I'm kidding. Thank you, Jason, for all that you did putting this together tonight, and Mike, everybody for that matter. Thank you.
Councilor Washburn.
The only thing I have is I'm glad to see Mr. Wells is back.
And there's that, yes, for sure.
Yes. Councilor Seneca.
I just want to say thanks to staff for all your guys' hard work you guys do every month to get us through these meetings. Thank you to our new HR for sitting through an entire council meeting. And again, I'm also glad to see Councilor Wells back.
I think everybody is.
Councilor Gamby.
I just want to take a minute and comment on what Councilor Wolf was talking about there. And really, the school district brought it up too with their vacancies. We're at a kind of an unprecedented time in America when we feel like we have the right collectively to force individuals to adhere to our mandate, in particularly in regards to health, is a very new threshold that we're crossing, and it seems like we're crossing it rather rapidly. I just want to express my support for the many hundreds and thousands of people out there who are losing their jobs and who are standing up for the freedom, which is the foundation of America. And they're doing it under intense pressure from all angles, whether it be from their employers or from the administration, our national administration, or in our case, an Oregon State Administration. It's really enlightening when you can take a step back and you realize that not all states are operating the way Oregon is. Not all states are requiring or enforcing mandates in regards to vaccines. Not all states are enforcing mandates in regards to masks. And we live in this bubble here, and sometimes you forget that we're just in the bubble of Oregon and the West Coast here, but thank goodness there's other states in our country that still value freedom, and thank goodness there's people who are willing to lose their job in order to make a stand against these kinds of things that are being filtered down in many places. And I think it's very wise of you to point that out to us, that we have people in our community that are also dealing with these intense pressures. We have, I know, many teachers and nurses and healthcare workers who are losing their jobs or being forced out of their jobs because of these kinds of things. There's a mass exodus of people leaving our state because of these ridiculous kind of measures. We sit here and wearing masks because of a mandate, when in reality we know that most of Junction City doesn't believe in masks. But we're sitting here wearing them because of a mandate, and we don't want to have Chief Morris kick us out of the meeting so we can't vote and do our duty in here. Most of us, if we're honest, we recognize that the people we represent don't believe in this, but we're kind of kowtowing and bowing down to the line. So again, I'm just very grateful that there's so many people out there who are not kowtowing and aren't bowing down to the line and are standing up for freedom, even in many cases where it's costing them their job.
Councilor Leach.
I would just like to thank the staff. I think that Kitty is an unsung hero, and I think she needs a vacation. She goes above and beyond. I think she, every call, every email, she's right on it. And I can't begin to tell her how much she's appreciated. Thank you, Jason. I think you saw exactly what the council was trying to say in these things, and I sure appreciate that. I'm so glad Ken's back. I feel like we're complete now. I had to laugh when I was looking at the checks. And I looked at this, and it says internal service vehicles refinished saddlebags. And I thought, Mike, and I wondered if he was riding his horse home up from Springfield. Anyway, I just refurnished saddlebags, just about did it when I was looking at the checks. And I'm assuming it's a motorcycle?
That would be great.
Okay. Anyway, I do appreciate, I know there's going to be some tough times coming. There's a lot of questions that the people have asked me, and I think they deserve some answers. I love this city. I think transparency is huge. And I think, again, we need to get back on track with that and be as open as we can. I thank you. You explain things very well, and I sure appreciate that. So that's it.
And Councillor Wells.
First of all, I want to also echo words of thanks to staff and to all of us that sit up here. A lot of work goes in. A lot of time goes in. A lot of effort goes in. And everybody does the best job they can. And we've got a great staff that goes beyond call of duty at times. But they do it because they care. And I hope everybody else understands it. I was away from this for a while, and I could see some of it from the outside. And you see these people doing this every day. And on a personal note, I want to thank all of you for your support, your prayers, while I went through a very, very rough time. But you know what matters? Is you come through it. You come through it stronger. And you come through it with the friends that you really know who you have and who's been and who's backed you and who supports you, just because we're all together. And I still have a few more bumps in the road, but I guarantee you I'm going to be back full blast. And I love all of you. Thank you.
Okay, my comments. I would assume that I would go to Director Crocker to set up a meeting for the Revolving Loan Committee. Is that something that...
It's up to the minister.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I have been getting some calls. I said that they should come and fill out a form, but anyway, I was asked to say this. And I agree with it wholeheartedly. The finance director and the city administrator to present to the council a comparison of salaries for both salaried and union employees and compare them to our surrounding communities. And to remind everybody, the birthday committee for the city is meeting is Thursday at 6:30 here at City Hall. And with that, I am going to wish everyone a good evening. Thanks for a great meeting, and we'll adjourn this meeting at 8:12.